And each week, I've been introducing different aspects of what it is to create communities of Christ. We've been going through the book of Acts talking about this particular topic. And as I read off the titles from the past weeks, take a moment to try to think through, do I remember what that sermon was about? Do I remember what the practical step was? And if you're here for the first time, or if you weren't here for the previous weeks, that's okay. You can always go back to our YouTube channel and look back at the previous sermons. Okay, so I'm going to read off some of the topics, the titles from the past weeks. The first week was the joy of living for God. Second week was the necessity of creativity. The third week was creating and building communities. And the fourth week was called Building Communities for Growth, and that was last week. Now, as we talk about building communities and creating communities of Christ, and we talked about how it's just such a wonderful place where we can get to know other people. It's a joy to be involved in God's work and to see these communities of Christ grow. And sometimes when we go through these things, when we experience this community, we want this to last. We want it to last a long time. But all good things must come to an end. At least that's what people say. And so, though today we're saying hello and welcome to new members, and though today we might not necessarily be saying goodbye to other people, but it's good to talk about what it is to say goodbye. Because it's not a topic that a lot of people talk about. It's not an easy topic to talk about. But it's such an important part of the human experience. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. A time to say goodbye. So why don't we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 17. And we'll read to verse 38. If you have one of these Bibles in front of you, the blue Bibles from outside, we're looking at page 929. Again, that's Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17, and we'll read all the way to verse 38. If you do have your own Bible, I do encourage you to open it up. Even if you know that it's going to be on the screen here, it's really good to still have your own Bible opened up, and I might refer to some passages without necessarily having it on the screen. So please go ahead and open up your Bibles. All right, Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. This is the reading of God's word. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account of my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all these things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Amen. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble reading through this passage because it's just not an easy topic. But we'll get through this. So I want to ask you, do you think that social media is helpful? I mean, when people leave a certain place, they say, hey, let's become Facebook friends, or at least that's what I say because I'm older. Or you might say, let's be Instagram friends, or I don't know how people say it these days. You know, let's be Twitter friends. I don't know, right? We say these things and we say that we want to keep in touch, but is it really helpful? And maybe in some ways you're able to see what's going on in other people's lives, but then do you really stay friends? I mean, do you really have a relationship when you move away from someone else, from a certain place? You know, I think that especially with this social media thing that's been going on in our society all around the world, it's becoming harder and harder for us to learn how to say goodbye. We don't want to say goodbye. And because of that, people don't necessarily have proper closure. Sometimes when we say, let's stay friends and let's stay in touch, keep in touch, K-I-T, right? Keep in touch. Sometimes what ends up happening is that people get disappointed because people didn't keep in touch. And sometimes when someone passes away, it's just a really, really difficult experience to go through. Because we just don't know, and it's becoming harder and harder to know how to say goodbye. So whether it's because someone is moving away, or whether it's because someone passes away, it's important that we know how to say goodbye as believers. This is something that I believe is rarely talked about in society. I mean, people do talk about it, but it's rarely talked about. And I also think that this is something that's rarely talked about in other religions. But as believers, we do need to learn how to say goodbye. And so the main idea for today is this. Say goodbye with the love of Christ. And the three main ideas that we're going to, or the three points that we're going to go through are: number one, community of love. Number two, saying goodbye. And number three, next steps. All right, so once again, the main idea for today is saying goodbye with the love of Christ. And the three points are community of love, saying goodbye, and next steps. Okay, let me just make it clear. I'm not getting all emotional because I'm actually saying goodbye to you guys. I'm not going anywhere, okay? I'm not going anywhere. But I know some of you guys are really struggling with this. And I could see it on your faces today. And I just want to know that I sympathize with you guys, and I know it's hard. And so throughout the sermon, there might be moments like this, and I apologize. But I want you to know that I understand. It's hard. But again, we're going to get through this. Main idea is say goodbye. 3 points. Let's go through the first point, community of love. As we look at the last part of this passage today, we see how through the whole passage, Paul is giving his last speech to the Ephesian elders. And last week, we talked about how he got to know the Ephesians and how he spent a lot of time with them. And he built up a really, really great relationship with them. And as he is now saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders, you see them weeping and praying together. They're embracing each other. And it's just such a beautiful scene. And the question is, how is it possible that Paul and these Ephesian elders, how is it possible that they had such a close relationship? And I'm sure that a lot of people, when they go to a church, they want to be in a friendship where they're this close, where when you leave, that people would remember you, that they would care for you, that they would really show that, man, this was such an important time together, right? Don't you want to find that kind of relationship in the church? I mean, a lot of people, when they look for a new church, that's what they look for. And so the question is, how did they build up such a close relationship with one another? And then what can we learn from how they said goodbye to each other? Well, just a quick background about what's been going on. We've been talking about Paul's journey. He went on these missionary journeys, and he was on his third missionary journey. He started in Antioch, and he started traveling. He stopped by Ephesus and stayed there for about 3 years or so. And spent a lot of time there. And then he traveled to Macedonia. Last week we talked about how he was in Ephesus and then how he started leaving. So then he went to Macedonia, to Achaia. And then he traveled backwards through those lands. He picked up a couple of different people from each of those cities. And then came back. He was sailing on the west side of Asia there. He was sailing. And then he purposely skipped to Ephesus. He didn't go back to Ephesus, but he stopped in a place called Miletus. And then he asked the Ephesian elders to come and to meet with him there. And the reason was that he really wanted to get back to Jerusalem by the Pentecost time. Pentecost was 50 days after Easter. And so he really wanted to get back as soon as possible. But, you know, all that traveling time, stopping by in certain places, resupplying the boats, and then taking some time to say hello to some of the church people, it took some time. And so he really wanted to get back by that time. So he didn't want to stay in Ephesus too long. And so what we find in today's passage is Paul's last words to the Ephesian elders and his way of saying goodbye. And so this is what we find. In this community of love, what was it that they shared, and what did Paul talk about specifically when he was spending his last time with these Ephesian elders? I summarized the whole speech for you guys, the whole thing that he talked about. And I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, but you can go through it slowly on your own and see what other things that you can find through Paul's speech. The first thing that he points out is that this community of love was built on the foundation of the gospel. Specifically, that it's about how we need to turn back toward God, and that's what we call repentance. Knowing that God exists, we need to turn back toward God. And the second thing is to believe that there is forgiveness through Jesus Christ alone, and that Jesus Christ is the only way that we might be saved. And so this is what Paul proclaimed over and over. This is not just something that he shared only with unbelievers. He also shared this with believers over and over again, telling people, reminding people, we need to turn back to God and look to our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul says is that this is what I did day and night. Every day, every time that I spent time with you, this is what we talked about, wasn't it? That's what Paul's reminding them. This is what I did, right? You guys remember. And he says specifically, you remember this from the very day that I met you, from the time that I've spent in Ephesus, the whole time I've shared the gospel with you. And perhaps, I don't know, it doesn't say specifically, but perhaps many of the elders, the Ephesian elders, were the people that he met. Remember from last week, those people that he met that only knew about the baptism of John? Remember that? Perhaps it was those people, and he started building a relationship with them and growing with them and reminding them of Jesus Christ and saying, we need to continue to look to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, look, I'm so convinced of this gospel. And I know that the Holy Spirit has been telling me that no matter where I go, I'm going to face persecution. I'm going to be imprisoned, but it doesn't matter. Because I have confidence because of Jesus Christ. I have confidence that God will protect me, that God will love me, and God will watch over me wherever I go because Jesus Christ was the one who made it possible for me to have a relationship with our God once again. And so no matter what I face, I have confidence going forward. Even though I may not be here in this safe place with you Ephesian elders, even though I'm going to lose this fellowship, I'm going to be going off to another place, and I don't know what the future holds, but I have confidence that my God will protect me. And so I go with faith because of this gospel foundation. And then he goes on to talk about how they need to focus on the Word of God. God's Word is so important. It's the foundation. And he says that he continued to point them to God's Word. And so again, you know, I'm not showing it on the screen here. And so if you guys just have your Bibles open, you can look at the verses and see the specific words that Paul says. Paul says that I've been continually pointing out the Word of God to you. And what I want you to do, elders, is I want you to also point people to God's Word. Because there's going to be wolves that come among you. People are going to come and they're going to point you to something else. But remember, when we talk about the gospel, we're wanting to say, keep going back to God and His Word. Keep going back to the Lord. Because there's going to be so many temptations and so many other people, even maybe from among you. There might be even some leaders that might start to draw you away from God's Word. So I want you to be faithful to go to God's Word and continue to learn from God's Word. In other words, grow in the gospel yourself. Understand God's ways. Understand His truth. Continue to grow in your own relationship with God. That's what this point is about. It's not just about study God's Word and that's it. But we study God's Word. We point to God's Word because this is the way that we ourselves grow in our relationship with God. The third point is continue to care for others. And he says, look, I am confident that all the joy and all the blessings that I look for is not necessarily going to come to me on this earth. I continue on with the work that God has given to me because I'm confident that the blessings that God promises will definitely be given to me in full one day when I go to heaven. I will experience some of those blessings today, but I will experience those blessings in full when I go to heaven one day. And that's why money and all the resources that I have are nothing to me today. I don't need to make my life all about money. In fact, because I receive God's love and I have a relationship with Him, what ends up happening is I don't have to care for myself. I can begin to care for other people. And I'm going to use my finances. I'm going to use my time. I'm going to use whatever I can to be able to be a blessing to other people, to go and care for others. And just like Paul reminded the people what Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Can you see what Paul is doing here? What Paul is doing is he's saying what we did together was that we pointed each other to Jesus Christ. What we did together is that we helped each other so that we can have a relationship with God and love God. And what we did together is that we also learned how to care for each other and to love other people, especially those that were poor, especially those that were weak among us. We learned to look to Jesus, to love God, and to love other people. That's what we did together. And in the very end, what they did was that they prayed with each other, and we said, and they said, as we say goodbye now, we want to commit each other into the Lord's hands. We want to commit God's word to you, and we want to commit you into the Lord's hands. And we trust that God will take care of you that's going away, and we trust that God will take care of us who are staying. And we trust that God will continue to use us for God's glory, and we trust that God will use you for God's glory. And you pray for each other, you accompany them to the place where they're leaving, and you say goodbye. This is what a community of love is all about. Now, when we find a community of love like this, where we're continually being reminded about Jesus Christ, where we're being continually reminded about having a relationship with God and caring for one another, this is a kind of place that maybe you would not want to leave or have a very, very difficult time leaving. So let's go to the second point, saying goodbye. Again, I want to go back to this question. What do you look for in a church? I've had a couple conversations with a couple people recently who were looking for a church. Some people that I talked to recently, they're actually thinking about leaving their church. And so I had to have a conversation with them about what is it that you really need to look for when you're looking for in a church. Now, I don't have the time to go through all of that criteria today. But people, the answers that they give to me are, they say things like, you know, I want a place where they have good music, or I want a place where the speaker speaks only for 30 minutes, not like our church here. I want a place where maybe I can really connect with God, and you know, some people might be looking for that based on the decorations and based on the environment. But one thing that a lot of people say is that they want to find a place where they can have friends, where they feel like they could connect with the people that are there, right? Let me ask this. Let's do a little bit of audience participation. How many of you, when looking for a church, have made this your criteria at some point in your life, that you wanted to find friends at the church? How many of you did that? Okay, a lot of us. And that's really normal. That's normal. That's okay. That's okay. But the question that I want to ask is, how do I know if I've made my relationship with others an idol? How do I know when I've made that idea of looking for friends in a church too much of a thing, where it's become something too important and actually gets in the way of my relationship with God? How do I know? Well, let me give you some examples. Okay, so if you're in a place where you're about to leave, or maybe some people are leaving the church, okay, for example, it's when you find yourself upset at God when you lose a friend. Maybe it's from a breakup. Maybe your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you're breaking up with them, and you end up getting upset at God because you've lost that friend. It's when you find yourself so lost when a friend moves away that you lose interest in the church. It's when you find yourself feeling like you don't want to try anymore to make new friendships because you're afraid that you're going to have to face the pain of losing another friend. This can also be applied to our relationships with friends or maybe family, where maybe the friends or family, they become too important that maybe they get in the way of God, of your relationship with God. And so I know this is a little bit difficult, but this can also be applied to when someone passes away. Okay, so how do you know when you've made that relationship into an idol? Again, it's when you find yourself upset at God when you've lost that friend or family member. It's when you find yourself so lost when a friend passes away that you lose interest in the church or life itself. It's when you find yourself feeling like you don't want to try to make a new friendship and you want to avoid people because you're afraid that you're going to have to face the pain of losing another friend or person. Now, some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about because you've gone through this. Some of you guys may only have an idea, but you're not really sure what it really feels like because you haven't gone through this. But at our church, what we find ourselves doing very often, whether we're talking about death or whether we're talking about people moving away, we find ourselves having to learn how to say goodbye. And either you can become callous to it, or we can really learn how to say goodbye as a community of love together. Saying goodbye is really, really hard. Again, not a lot of people talk about it. But this is a fact that we need to, this is a reality that we need to face. And we need to learn how to say goodbye, not just we learning ourselves, but we need to lean upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lean upon the Lord once again to know how to do this well. You know, Paul, he says goodbye, and that as he says goodbye, he's willing and able to face anything that comes his way. He's willing to continue on living. He's willing to continue to see the hope and the purpose of his life. He's willing to continue on and to try again and to make new friendships and to continue to share the gospel. Why? It's because of the gospel, because of what Jesus Christ has done for him. It's because of how Jesus Christ has given purpose in his life. And so he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You see, because of what Jesus Christ has done, and because of how Jesus Christ is working in each of our lives, again, as I said in past weeks, God desires each and every one of us to be involved in creating communities of Christ. God wants each and every one of us to make disciples. God wants each and every one of us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so there is a purpose in your life. There is a reason why God has you on this earth. There is hope for the future, no matter what you may be facing today. And so that's why Paul says this. My life is not about me. My life is about living for the Lord. And so even if I don't have the joy of having you in my circle today, even if I don't have the joy of being with you for the rest of my life, even if I have to say goodbye to you today, there's still hope, there's still purpose, and there's still joy for my life. And so he's not afraid about facing the future. So let me summarize again what Paul did in saying goodbye. These are the four things that he did. Number one, he wanted to make a special time to meet up with the people. He asked the Ephesian elders to come. He went to Miletus, and he asked the Ephesian elders to come. That means he had to send messengers for 1 or 2 days that had to walk, ride a boat, and walk to Ephesus, gather the Ephesian elders, and the Ephesian elders probably said, okay, we need to gather some stuff together. All right, maybe took a day or two to get ready, and then they did another journey back to meet with Paul. So they purposely met up. Number two, they recounted the blessings. Paul talked about the gospel. Paul talked about how day and night he would spend time with them, and this was all they talked about. Basically, what he was saying was, let's remember the good times that we had together. Let's remember how the Lord blessed us. Let's remember how the Lord worked through our times together and even answered our prayers. Let's remember that time together. And so it's a time to remember how God did these wonderful things, and we remember these things together. We bring to remembrance what God had done while we were together. The third thing, encourage and exhort. Paul took the time to say, look, I want you guys to hold on to the gospel. I want you to cling on to the Lord. I want you to continue to grow and care for each other. And we could say that to the person that's leaving as well. We want you to remember the gospel. Hold on to the Lord no matter what you face. And we trust that the Lord will work through you. Continue to go and create communities of Christ. We want to encourage and exhort one another. And the last thing is to take the time to pray with one another, to commit each other into the Lord's hands. We pray for the people that are leaving, and the people that are leaving pray for us. The only reason why we're able to build this community of love, the only reason why we're able to say goodbye, is because the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to do these things. If you remember the night before that Jesus Christ went to the cross, Jesus Christ also met with his disciples, right? Jesus Christ had a last meal with his disciples. And he also started talking with them and having a wonderful time talking about the things that he had taught them, about the things that he showed them, about the miracles that happened in their midst. He shared with them all these things. And then he said, remember, this is my body given for you, and this is my blood that's shed for you. Remember me. Remember what I did. He encourages them and tells them to care for one another. He says to them, love one another as I have loved you. Actually, I have all these verses for you. So John chapter 14. Let me start with this one. What Jesus did in, what you'll find in John chapter 13 all the way to chapter 16 is Jesus' last speech to the disciples. So if you want to see what his last words were, like his last will to the disciples, just read through John chapter 13 all the way to chapter 16. In John chapter 14, he says this, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. First thing that I want to point out that Jesus says is that he says, even though I may be going away and we're saying goodbye, don't worry. I am with you. Again, the reason why we are able to say goodbye to each other and we are able to know that Jesus is with us and Jesus is caring for us is because Jesus has already told his disciples that even if I'm going away, the Father will send the Holy Spirit to you and I will be with you through the Holy Spirit. I am with you no matter where you go. I am with you no matter where you stay. I am with you. Even if the greatest leader leaves our church and we feel like God is gone now. Sometimes we might feel this way. But we can remember God is still with us. God is not just with that holy person. God is with us. And if you're the person that's leaving You can be sure that God will be with you because, again, Jesus has said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus also encourages one another, the disciples rather, to love and care for one another. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, Jesus says, I want you to care for one another. And actually, Jesus later on says in chapter 14 and 15, he says, this is my commandment. The way that you're going to show me love is by obeying my commandment. And my commandment is this, that you love one another, that you care for each other. So Jesus also exhorts and encourages his disciples. And then here in the end, he says, behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. You see, Jesus is also holding on to the promise and the truth that the Father was with him. And so even though the disciples all abandoned him, some of us may have experienced friends abandoning us, and we are really hurt by that. Even though his disciples were going to abandon him, Jesus says, it's okay, because even if you leave me, my Father will never leave me. I am not alone, for the Father is with me. And he says this, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is so important. Because this is such an important point. I want to point this out. Whenever we say goodbye, whenever we go through the pain of having to part ways with someone, we're experiencing a little experience of death. It's really difficult. I'm not saying when we say goodbye, we should all be joyful and having a good time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it is going to be hard because we all experience a little bit of that experience of death when we have to say goodbye to people. But we can take heart that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Not only did he die, but he rose again from the dead. And we know that even though we might experience death, even if it's just a little bit, that one day we will experience life because Jesus Christ defeated death and he rose from the dead. And so there's hope. No matter how sad we may feel, there's always hope and we can continue to move forward. And we know that this is true because Jesus himself has said, I am coming. I am going to return. And one day, all of Jesus' people, all of the saints will rise again together. And we will be able to see each other once again. And so no matter how much we as Christians may say, we may say goodbye to each other. In some ways, what we're also saying is, see you again. Like in Chinese, we say, 再见, right? See you again. And so we don't necessarily have to say goodbye forever. What we're saying is we'll see you in heaven one day again. Now, I know some people, they say that and they're like, don't worry, we'll see you in heaven again. And other people are like, oh, why do you have to say that? Oh. Sometimes when people say that, they're not really experiencing the difficulty of saying goodbye. And sometimes when people hear that, people are having a difficult time saying goodbye. But it's important for us to remember that, yes, there is a death that we're experiencing, but at the same time, Jesus has overcome the world, and he will return one day so that we can experience that life together once again. And so, as we remember that, the reason why we're able to say goodbye, the reason why we're able to say goodbye in a good way is because we do have the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He is shining upon us no matter what we go through. And there is no cloud that will get in the way for his light to shine upon us. Jesus is always going to be with us. And so there is hope, there is joy, there is renewed strength, there's victory over death. And that's why when we say goodbye, we can say goodbye in a good way. How can we do that practically? What are the next steps that we could think about? Well, as I've said, there are these four things that Paul did, and these are things that we can practice ourselves. Number one, or rather, let's talk about the goal. The goal is to work towards closure. Actually, I spelled it wrong there. That's not the way to spell it. But to work towards closure. And so what that means is to say that recognize that perhaps a chapter in your life with that person is coming to a close. Recognize that perhaps you may never have that time again with that person or with those group of people. But that's okay. And take the steps that you need to bring about that closure. So the goal, whenever we say goodbye, is to work towards closure. One example of that, specifically with regards to death, is that I know it's really difficult to talk about this, but I think we need to talk about it. I was talking with a brother recently, and the brother was sharing with me how important it was to actually dig the grave of the person that they were burying. Now, I know that we don't do that these days, but what ended up happening was that the company, they dug the wrong hole. And so when they arrived at the scene, there was no hole there. And so they actually had to start digging themselves. But as they dug and as they went through that process, that sorrow began to slowly turn into just working together to help bring about closure for everyone. And at the very end, they said that everyone was filled with peace and even with joy. So going through that process of maybe throwing the dirt onto the coffin, maybe going through the process of actually standing there and watching the coffin go into the, incinerary, to see the cremation happen. Maybe going through the process of actually being there at the funeral service, to see the coffin actually close, to see the person one last time. Every single step is an important part of you facing closure. Now, not only with death, but even when we say goodbye to people, it's important that we go through these steps. Meet up. Sometimes it's good to meet at someone's home. Make it an event. Get together, eat together, recount the blessings, share about how God has worked, share some memories, share about some good memories, share about some difficult memories, but share with each other. Number three, encourage and exhort. Share hopes about how God will use them. Exhort to continue to use the gifts. Point out the gifts that you see in that person, the things that they do well, and encourage them. And lastly, pray together. You know, one of the things that I talk about every single week during the announcements is to say that we have community groups. And the best way to practice this thing is to actually be part of a community group. Many of you guys are not part of community groups yet, and I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty, but what I'm saying is that you're actually missing out. You're missing out because the community group is the place where you really can grow together in a relationship with other people in the church. You really grow in a friendship, and then you're able to experience this closure by saying goodbye, by having this type of event happen when you leave. You know, it'd be so sad if you've been a part of this church for 5 years, for 2 years, and then after a while you come up to me and you say, "Pastor, I'm leaving," and I say, "I'm sorry, I don't even know who you are." Because you never joined membership. because you never joined a community group. And you leave and you say, thank you for being a wonderful pastor in a wonderful church. And we say, I wish you would have been a part of this church. I wish that you would have come up and said your vows and we could have spent time together and we could have prayed for you before you left and sent you off with blessings. I wish we could do this for every single person that comes through our church. And so community groups is the best place to do this thing, to even learn how to say goodbye. And we've done this multiple times. Some of you guys, maybe the picture's not very clear, but there's a brother, Stephen, in the past that we said goodbye to. He was part of this community group. We gathered at my house, and we took the time to share and say goodbye. This was our brother, Jason. We took the time to pray for him. We laid our hands on him. We embraced him. I shed tears. We said goodbye. And this was not too long ago where we said goodbye to Mata, who was our sister who led worship. We took the time to pray, laid our hands on her, and we said goodbye. And it was just a wonderful time. And so I want to ask you, every one of you, to consider how to take these next steps to learn how to say goodbye. It's not just about us learning, but it's about being encouraged in community with one another to point each other back to Jesus Christ, to point each other to love the Lord and to love each other and to pray for one another. Now, I just wanted to just add one last thing about next steps. We've been talking about creating communities of Christ and how to do that. These are the steps that we've talked about in the past. The part on the top is what we talked about last week. The last one on the bottom here is I just want to say continue to meet with that group. Continue to meet with them and also have fun together. Go out and go bowling or meet up and play some games together, play board games, and build a relationship not just through studies, not just through talking about each other's lives, but have fun with each other as well. And this will be a good way to continue to build a community in the Lord. I have these steps up here, and I know some of you have not started any of these things, and that's okay, but I just want to let you know that I have these steps up here because I'm actually giving you practical steps about how you yourself can actually start a community of Christ. And so I want to encourage you, write down these steps, and if you don't have the courage right now to start, just keep praying. And perhaps one day when you see an opportunity, you'll have all the steps right here to actually start creating a community of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, as I close here today, I just want to encourage you once again. The best way to learn how to say goodbye is to actually join and be a part of the community of Christ here. Let's learn and grow together. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you, dear Lord, for your wonderful love that you've shown to us. And Lord, I thank you that you tell us that our life with you is not just about us and you alone and in an individual relationship. But Lord, it really is about us together and our relationship with you. And so Lord, when we do face times to say goodbye, Lord, would you be our comfort? Would you be our peace? But also be our hope and our strength and our joy. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.